Typically, what we do is hold the public hearing for 2 p.m. Central Time, and we are not there yet. So, to ensure we stay on time for that particular agenda item, we're going to move around just a little bit. And so we're going to move down to item number 12, and we're going to take on Midwest Walleye Challenge summary. And I believe Brian Blackwell is with us in person today.
Yes.
Welcome.
I got coins and I'll get you. I promise. If you want to, yeah. Number two. Should be.
Afternoon. I'm going to talk about, give you some information about our Midwest Walleye Challenge, as well as an update on what we found in South Dakota. I guess I'm Brian Blackwell. I'm program lead for the Reef Fisheries Research as well as survey, and I'm out of Watertown. So what is the Midwest Walleye Challenge? Well, it was an online fishing event where anglers could participate in citizen science. It gave anglers the ability to provide some data for us. So as far part of our some of our walleye fisheries. The anglers were able to provide angler data on their fishing trip. Basically, we got the start and end times of their fishing, where they were fishing with a GPS location on their phone, as well as every time they caught a walleye, we recorded that was, we were able to record the time, get a measurement from a picture of that fish, and the angler would then indicate whether they kept or released the fish. So the dates for this challenge were April 1st through June 29th of this year. So it just ended within last week or two. And it was open to all anybody that fished in South Dakota. There was a $25 fee to join this, but as soon as you recorded your first fishing trip, you got $20 and an e-gift card to Discount Tackle. Big discount, big tackle store. In fact, I participated in this and used my $20 to take the cost, reduce the cost of a fishing reel. So, definitely a little incentive to keep people get people involved. Here you can see the states that were involved in the Midwest Challenge. There were six states during this year: South Dakota, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. And each little blue dot represents a lake that where somebody fished. There could have been multiple trips on that, but you can see pretty good distribution of anglers across those six states. Everything that was done as far as the angler part of it was done in what's called the MyCatch app. You could do it on a Android phone or an Apple phone, but you had to have GPS enabled because we needed to get the location where people were fishing. So basically, this is what you would see once you open that app. You would get this where you would start your trip, click on the green button on the bottom here. You click on that, and that's how you started your trip. And then the timing would start recording, as well as the GPS location would be entered in. And then once you caught a fish, you'd go back into the app, you'd click on the add catch, and then you would get this figured this here, basically showing you how to measure the walleye that you caught. And we were interested in all sizes of walleyes because we want to know about everything that's going on from the small fish to the big fish. So we encouraged anglers to enter all their fish they caught, all the walleyes. And you had to have the nose of the walleye right up to the end of the, where the measuring device would be at zero, and then you also had to see where the tail crossed the ruler. So the outline basically helped people lay that fish on there the correct way. And at that point, you would click it, take a picture of it, and then that picture would be uploaded. You answered a few questions whether that fish was caught or kept or released, and then you could also enter the length of the fish. And then at that point, you would finish it, and it was uploaded, and that's where it went to. There were some college students that are working up in British Columbia, Canada, that are helping with this, and they review every fish that comes in, every picture of a fish that comes in. And they do review them pretty closely. These are a couple of my fish. One was rejected simply because it was my measuring device started at 10 inches, and the fish was about 9.8 inches. So they didn't include that fish. So you knew definitely had to be doing things right. And then one, the other fish here, I got a 1-inch penalty on it because the nose of the fish was cut off in my picture. It was at night and I take the pictures. I guess I wasn't paying close enough attention when I uploaded it. And so they gave me a 1-inch penalty. So it wasn't a big fish. It was only a 16-inch walleye. But if you did have a 29 or 30-inch fish, you wouldn't want to have that 1-inch since there is a prize for the biggest fish. So got to be careful when you take those pictures. So to get people interested in this, there was incentives to get people to participate. There was an early bird sign up. Our staff did an incredible job of promoting this and trying to get people interested in it. And so before the April 1st, we had an early bird. You know, you could get prizes for that. And then during the tournament or the challenge, there were biweekly prizes that were given out. And then at the end, there's the longest walleye, so first through third, and the most walleyes caught first through third, as well as a tough luck drawing. This is for if you went fishing and didn't catch a walleye during that trip, you're in the tough luck drawing. And then there's also a hidden length where they're going to have a position in the stats that is going to win a prize as well. Oh, and I should have mentioned Discount Tackle as well as Daiwa were the big sponsors for all the prizes for this. So what do we find in South Dakota this year? We had 104 anglers sign up. 54 of those anglers submitted trips. And I don't understand why the 50 people that signed up, paid their money, the $25, they didn't take a trip. It baffles me. Maybe they didn't understand how it worked, or maybe they just never went fishing after that. But we had, like I say, 50 people did not participate, even though they paid the $25 to participate. So, but of those 54, we had 424 trips submitted. And here you can see the waters that were fished in South Dakota, 54 total. The actual number is probably going to be a little bit less because there's a little, on the maps, there's some, inconsistencies. Like on Lake Sharp, one was classified as the Missouri River and the rest were all Lake Sharp. So we got to do a little cleaning up on that. So it's going to be probably closer to 50 waters fished. But in all, 1,926 hours were fished by these 54 anglers. Of those, about 126 were no walleyes were caught. So a little more than a quarter of the trips, they didn't catch any walleyes. Here's the distribution of the walleyes that were caught. In all, there was 1,822 walleyes caught during these 54 trips. They ranged in size from 6 inches to 29.3 inches with an average of 16.1. So pretty nice walleyes overall caught. And catch rates were at 0.95 walleyes per hour. Typically, if we see a third of a walleye caught per hour on a lake, it's pretty good fishing. So in all, overall, I'd say our anglers had some pretty good luck. And that's even with, near a little over a quarter of the trips having zero walleyes caught. So walleye fishing was pretty darn good. But the timing is when we'd expect the higher catch rates of walleyes. You're talking May and June, so that's when we typically see our higher catch rates too. Here you can see the final leaders. Couple 29-inch walleyes were the largest fish caught. And then if you look at the total fish caught, 443 walleyes were caught by Michael Achenbach. And then you'll also see Nick Harrington's name on there. He caught 321. So Nick did quite a bit of fishing in this as well. And I thought I was doing well. I caught 82. That's the most walleyes I've caught in a spring for quite a while. And that was one thing I think this challenge does. It gets people more involved and wanting to go out fishing more. I definitely fish more since I was involved in this year. So what do we want to get from this? Well, we're going to get some information on walleye populations where we may not annually sample. Some are primary waters we sample every year. Others we may not sample, sample them every other year, maybe every fifth year. So we can get some information from those walleye populations through these anglers. We can compare what the anglers are catching to what we're catching in our gill nets. See if they're the same. For example, in Nebraska last year at Lake McConaughey, the anglers were catching a lot bigger fish than their nets in Nebraska were showing. So they knew they needed to do some adjustments on how they were sampling their fish. Walleye recruitment's a big one. We stock a lot of walleyes. As the hatchery got the award, they produce a lot of walleyes. And if we don't sample those every year, we don't know what's going on in them. So this is a potential way we can look at, see what recruitment is for those fisheries. And angler use. If we have a water that we saw a lot of use on during this walleye challenge, maybe we need to do some more management on that water if we're not doing any, or perhaps some increased angler access if that's the case, if we're seeing some activity on that. As well as we can compare walleye populations in state as well as out of state. It's just how do our catch rates compare to, within and those waters outside the state. So just a couple examples of where we can use this information. If you remember last year, the 15 to 18 inch slot was removed from the walleye population in Belfouche Reservoir, and enacted a 15 inch minimum of the two fish daily limit. So during this challenge, we had 44 angler trips, 270 hours fished, and they caught 616 walleyes during that time frame and 2.3 walleyes per hour. So if you remember, there was a bunch of walleyes, in that 16 inches and up, and the removing the slot limit was, trying to get some harvest of those fish, and they definitely caught a lot of those fish. So this is what shows our gillnet catch was last year with the big numbers of fish up there, 16 to 20 inches. The anglers caught basically the same histogram, our same distribution of those fish, but a lot of them. So, harvest, this shows both catch and harvest, but definitely I'm assuming most anglers took their two. So we probably did make a pretty good dent in those fish, and hopefully we can start seeing some recruitment. Now, Gene Gallinet's has a creel survey going on this lake as well, so we'll be able to compare what the creel shows to what the walleye challenge shows as well. Another example, Grass Lake in Connington County. This is a lake by Florence. It's one that's kind of a marginal water, probably 7-8 foot maximum depth. We survey it every 5 years. It was last surveyed in 2023. The next survey will be 2028. Is not a priority walleye stocking, but it's been stocked quite a few times. It usually gets extra fish just because it's a marginal water and could be winter kill. This year we had 16 angler trips during the challenge, 22.3 hours fished, 42 walleyes were caught, with a catch rate of 1.9 walleyes per hour. Again, pretty darn good catch rate for these walleye fisheries. This is what our gillnets in 23 look like. You can see there's two strong year classes, the H2 and H4. Both were stocked year classes. This is what it looked like this year when during the challenge. We see three strong year classes. And what you'll notice is these fish in 24 were stocked in 24, so we got a year class there. And we got a year class of fish that are H2 that were not stocked. So without sample, we won't sample this until 2028. So both those year classes will probably have moved through that fishery, and we would never known they were there without this angler information. So in summary, angler engagement creates some active partners with the Walleye Challenge. People get involved. They take an interest in our fisheries. I think it's a very good thing as far as fishing goes. We had good participation in year one. 104 people signed up. But again, why those 50 didn't participate, we don't know. But it'd be great if we could get, 400 people participating in this, because we get so much more information, and I think it'd be a win-win on these things, because we're going to get that information on our fisheries that we wouldn't be getting without it. So what's next? Well, we're hoping we can repeat in 26. Funding for this wasn't renewed, but there's a couple grants going in, or there's possibility. They may ask all the states that participated to, do some funding for it to try to keep it going. But the other big one is we might develop it for some other species in South Dakota, some that we have troubles sampling in general. Lake trout and Lake Pactola, incredible fishery for lake trout in the winter as well as early spring. But we really have trouble sampling, so we don't know what's going on. So it'd be a good potential area to get some information on lake trout, as well as muskies. Most of our muskies are incidental catches, but if we get the muskie anglers, those that are targeting them, to participate in this, we could definitely get some more information on those fish through that. And with that, if there's any questions, I'll take them.
Very good. Any questions for Brian? Comments? I wanted to go back. You had mentioned some prizes for the biggest fish. Can you share where that was and what some of those prizes are?
They haven't announced the final prizes. They're still going through them. But the biggest fish is going to get a rod and reel combo from Daiwa, valued at, I think, $200 and some. There were prizes, the bi-weekly ones, I believe, like the most fish caught in the last one. It was a $30 gift card to Amazon. So there's various prizes utilized through the discount tackle as well as Daiwa, and then some cash prizes based on what money was, you paid in your entry fee as well. So this was a year we didn't have a, grant funding. So hopefully next year we do get some funding and maybe the prizes will be better. I know the previous year they gave a few trips out to Canada. We weren't participating in that at that point, but they had some trips that fly-in trips where people won some prizes and went into Canada.
Okay. And then in terms of awareness, how are we making sure people are aware of this, the marketing of it?
Yeah, Nick and his crew did a really good job. Press releases, things on Facebook. They did some podcasts about it. But if you're not probably looking for some of that, you may not find it. But definitely, the press releases, I think, was where we found out most people were finding out about it.
I'm getting a yes back there. Excellent. Additional questions, comments? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. Thank you, Brian. What's the time frame for sign up? I know you said early bird.
I believe it was little after the 1st of January and all. And then the early bird was till it started April 1st. But you could sign up anytime during the challenge. And we had some people sign up during the last week. So
thank you.
Additional questions from the commission? Comments? Very good report. Thank you. Excellent.